I'm Evan Knappen, and welcome to Gun Lawyer. So, today, I have an interesting question. And the question is the Umarex TR50 jersey legal? Now, many of you may be saying, what the hell is a Umarex TR50? Well, let me tell you. A Umarex TR50 is a 50 caliber home defense revolver, and it is powered by CO2, and it has 11 joules of power. And believe it or not, this self-defense revolver, which fires a 50 caliber projectile, is available from Amazon, believe it or not. And you can go to Amazon, and right now they have them online there for $169. Now, what's interesting about the TR50 is it's really a new class, or maybe somewhat part of an existing class, of self-defense air pistols. Now, we've talked in the past about the Byrna gun, and the Byrna fires a 68 caliber round, and the Byrna is, been out there for a while, and we've discussed that before, so I don't want to get into the Byrna today, of course, because you can go back to the old Gun Lawyer on Byrna and learn all about Byrnas. But the TR50, I think, is really interesting, because I'm going to go through with you the New Jersey gun law and show you how this is actually wonderfully outside of most of New Jersey gun law. And it is pretty cool. Now, this TR50, and there's plenty of videos online, you can see how powerful the TR50 is, especially with the solid projectile. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But the revolver itself actually has a velocity of 450 feet per second. And it is currently the most powerful defense revolver fired by, air or CO2 out there. At least that's a claim by the advertising folks here. And it can shoot various types of projectiles, anything from a steel ball, a pepper ball, a rubber ball, a nylon ball, and a shaped projectile. And it uses just the standard 12-gram CO2. And the question is, what is this under Jersey law? Is it legal to have? What are the parameters to having it? What are the parameters even on purchasing and owning it? And this is where it gets really fascinating, because, first of all, the revolver itself is similar in a way to the old Crosman 38T or the so-called 357 they make, even though it's a 177 pellet firing revolver. Many of you may be familiar with that old Crosman revolver, and has little wheels that you push the pellets into, and you can switch out those wheels, right? Well, the TR50 also utilizes wheels in a similar way, but it holds six 50 caliber balls instead of the 177 pellet, and it is substantially more powerful than that Crosman pellet gun, even though that Crosman pellet gun is considered a firearm and a handgun under Jersey law. But as you will see, the TR50 is not, and I'll explain why. The way to understand this revolver and how it applies to New Jersey law is very interesting, because how they wrote New Jersey law, there was no such thing as a TR50 at the time. So if we go to the definitions of under New Jersey law, and you look at NJS 2C39-1, let's start with subsection F, which defines what a firearm is. Now, New Jersey defines a firearm as follows. It means any handgun, rifle, shotgun, machine gun, automatic or semi-automatic rifle, or any gun, device, instrument in the nature of a weapon from which may be fired or ejected any solid projectable ball, slug, pellet, missile, or bullet, or any gas, vapor, or other noxious thing by means of a cartridge or shell, or by the action of an explosive or the igniting of flammable or explosive substances. So it doesn't fall under the first category because it's not firing or ejecting a noxious thing by way of an explosive or flammable or explosive substance, you see. So it doesn't fit that. But the second part of the definition of firearm specifically applies to air guns, but listen to what it says. It says, it shall also include, without limitation, any firearm which is in the nature of an air gun, spring gun, or pistol, or other weapon of similar nature, in which the propelling force is a spring, elastic band, carbon dioxide, compressed or other gas or vapor, or air, or compressed air, or is ignited by compressed air, and ejecting a bullet or missile smaller than 3/8 of an inch in diameter with sufficient force to injure someone. Now, what we have with the TR-50 is a projectile over 3/8 of an inch. It is half inch. It's 50 cal. So it does not fit the air gun definitional part of firearm. Therefore, it is not a firearm. It is not a firearm by New Jersey's definition. Now, things that are not a firearm, but are larger than a certain size, then some of those things might be considered a destructive device, which is a separately prohibited weapon. Is a TR-50 a destructive device? So for that, we go again to the definitions under NJS 2C39-1, where subsection C defines destructive device. And it defines destructive device meaning any device, instrument, or object designed to explode or produce uncontrolled combustion, including, and number one is an explosive or incendiary bomb, mine, or grenade, so that doesn't cover this, a rocket having a propelled charge of more than 4 ounces, nope, doesn't cover it here, or any missile having an explosive or incendiary charge of more than 1/4 ounce, nope, that's not here. Ah, but three says, any weapon capable of firing a projectile of a caliber greater than 60 caliber, except shotgun or shotgun ammunition, generally recognized as suitable for sporting purposes. The next section says any Molotov cocktail, a breakable container containing liquid, and then any centerfire rifle that is capable of firing a 50 BMG. So the only one that even arguably has any element of a TR-50 would be the third section about a weapon capable of firing a projectile, but it has to be over 60, and this is 50. So it's not a firearm, and it is not a destructive device. So the best it could be defined as is a weapon. That's right, a weapon. Now, anything intended to be used as a weapon that could cause injury, you know, is essentially a weapon. But weapons are only regulated, just in terms of being other weapons, under NJS 2C39-5, which deals with the unlawful possession of weapons. And in subsection A, you'll find machine guns, and in subsection B, handguns, and subsection C, rifles and shotguns. But it would be subsection D that would concern us the most, because what subsection D says is other weapons. And it says, any person who knowingly has in his possession any other weapon under circumstances not manifestly appropriate for such lawful uses as it may have is guilty of a crime of the fourth degree. However, subsection D, other weapons, there is an exemption for subsection D, other weapons, and that exemption is in fact found in NJS 2C 39(6)(e), that exempts the possession of other weapons in one's home. And furthermore, the possession statute itself does talk about possessing it under circumstances not manifestly appropriate for such lawful uses as it may have. And you see, this is where New Jersey gets really weird. You can plainly possess a TR-50 in your home. It's not a regulated firearm. It's not a prohibited destructive device. You can order one right from Amazon. You can even order the ammunition off Amazon. You can possess it in your home under the exemption for, quote, other weapons. But what about carrying a TR-50? Can you carry a TR-50 outside your home for self-defense? Now, I know some of you may say, well, hey, my manifest lawful purpose is self-defense, and by golly, that's a lawful purpose if I ever heard of one, and why can't I carry it? Well, that's because New Jersey's case law on it doesn't specifically say that that's okay. A matter of fact, the current case law on it says that's not okay. And it is because of a line of cases that we've also talked about when discussing tasers. And that line of cases begins with a case called Kelly, which originally had somebody charged under this statute with an other weapon. And they said the court, that's who the they is here, the court said that someone who preemptively arms themselves for self-defense, that is not a lawful purpose in New Jersey. Can you believe that? Arming yourself for lawful self-defense isn't a lawful purpose. Sorry, that doesn't fly. And they said that that was not an effective defense that you could present if you were claiming you had this for self-defense. And plainly, this is designed for self-defense. But then along comes another case that happened after the Heller decision, which established we can have firearms and other weapons for self-defense in one's home. So the court, seeing the writing on the wall in Montalvo, where this person came up to the door with a machete in his hand. He wasn't using it to threaten or attack anyone, but he appeared in the door with a machete, and the police saw this, and they said, aha, you're possessing this weapon, and you have it. And he said, look, I have it for self-defense. Oh, that's not allowed under Kelly and blah, blah, blah. But guess what? The court said, nope, we're going to draw a new line, a new red line here, and that is if you preemptively arm yourself for self-defense in your home, then that's okay. That itself exempts you from the statute because they'll recognize that preemptively arming oneself for self-defense in the home is a manifest lawful purpose, but not outside the home. Imagine that, not outside the home. And then what? Then along comes the Bruin decision that says what? That very question. Do we have a right under the Second Amendment for outside the home? Does it apply outside the home? Could we defend ourselves outside the home? The answer was yes. And that's what made shall issue carry permits lawful in New Jersey, didn't it? But you see, we don't have a follow-up case yet in New Jersey that says, yes, preemptively arming oneself for self-defense outside the home with a, quote, other weapon is a manifest lawful purpose. We don't have a case that says that, yes. However, I would strongly believe that should that challenge come in front of the court, that under the Bruin Supreme Court of the United States decision, that they would have to expand it and say, yep, you do have a right to self-defense outside the home, and therefore you can carry other weapons outside the home. But they haven't said that yet. Now, I'm sure none of you want to be the test case. However, I'm sure a test case at some point is going to come along. But until a test case comes along, I would not carry it outside the home. But I suspect at some point we will see such a decision. But until then, you can possess it plainly in your home. It's outside of those definitions, as I've explained, and why. And there is an additional exemption anyway to possess in your home, regardless of the, quote, manifest lawful purpose anyway. So that's how that works, and I think it's a very interesting self-defense tool that is out in the market now that really didn't exist until recent times. And if it fits somebody's need for a self-defense weapon in the home, feel free. There you go. And you can also check out some really cool projectiles that are made for it. And I think one of the coolest one is known as the Devastator Round. Boy, I really wish they didn't give those names to these things. You know, it's not exactly helpful, but whatever. It's pretty devastating what this Devastator Round does. And what it is, it's a sabot. A sabot round is a round that has the projectile normally encased in plastic or some other material that is lighter weight and kind of peels away from the main projectile. And in this case, it's a sabot round that has a steel core round ball in it that would be somewhat smaller than 50 caliber itself, but not a whole lot smaller. Maybe it's maybe 40 cal or 45 cal. And it has the plastic material around it, which also gives a better seal as it is proceeding down the barrel. And then that plastic piece either falls off or is kind of relatively irrelevant once it leaves the barrel, because that steel core ball is what is going to have the impact. And as it says right on Amazon, you can read it, maximum impact and penetration, stabilized full metal jacket bullet with steel core, that's what's on the inside, effectively penetrates materials such as glass, plywood, or thin sheet metal. The most powerful self-defense bullets on the market. And Amazon sells them at the moment for $49.95. And I think it comes with, does it say how many on here? Not sure. Maybe it's 25 or so. But anyway, that is a very interesting ammunition. And you can see demos, of course, on the internet about its use and firing of it using a sabot round. You know, sabot actually comes from the French, meaning shoe. And it is literally like a shoe, like when you put a shoe around your foot. So you're putting this shoe around the bullet. You may have heard the word sabotage, right? Sabotage or sabotage something. Well, that comes from the Industrial Revolution, when the folks that were opposing the Industrial Revolution, particularly in France, would take their shoe and throw it in the machinery of the industry, screwing up the gears and the machinery, causing it to break down. And hence, it was sabotage. And that's the origin of the word sabotage. But sabot is shoe, and that's a sabot round. And there are even firearm rounds that use sabots. There's even huge artillery rounds that use sabots. And at one point, Remington had sabot 308s that fired out of a 308 with a sabot, a 22 caliber round. And man, that thing went out of there, I think, at 4,000 plus feet per second, because the projectile is so much lighter, but it still could have the accuracy of the sabot itself. So sabot rounds themselves are interesting, but I thought you'd appreciate learning about the TR-50. And let me also mention that the state association, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, is the gun rights organization for New Jersey. They are the premier gun rights organization. You know, I talk about them a lot. They are a sponsor of the show, but I'm proud also to serve on the board of the association. And the association is kind of an umbrella organization of gun clubs throughout New Jersey, but they have individual members, and they're the group in the courts currently litigating against the Carry Killer bill and the so-called large capacity magazine ban and the assault firearm ban, you know, the pejorative political terms that the anti-gunners have been able to enact as actual legal terms, even though they're crap. But nonetheless, we're fighting those things in the courts as we speak. And they're also down in Trenton with a paid lobbyist keeping watch on all the shenanigans going on there. So really, become a member of the association. Even if you don't live in New Jersey, you can join the association because New Jersey is on the forefront of the battle for our gun rights. And show your support and be part of the solution. Check out anjrpc.org. That's anjrpc.org. And let me also mention our good friends at WeShoot. WeShoot is a indoor pistol range in Lakewood, New Jersey. They're a fantastic indoor range. They are premier. They are just wonderful people there. I just love WeShoot. I love everybody down there. They are wonderful. You go there, you're treated like family. Mention my name, you'll be treated like royalty. It's really a great place and a resource right there in Lakewood, so easily accessible right off the parkway. You can check out WeShootUSA. That's their website, WeShootUSA.com. And they have an excellent website, beautiful photography. They run all kinds of fun events. If you need training, if you need to get your CCARE certificate so you can get your New Jersey shall issue carry license, they will help you do that. That's where I got mine. You can get yours. They are first rate, and you will not be sorry. So many of the folks that have listened to me and gone there, they tell me how much they love WeShoot, and I love them too. So make sure you go to WeShoot, give them your business. They are a stalwart defender of the Second Amendment. And let me also mention my book, My Labor of Love, the famous Bible of New Jersey Gun Law, and that's what it's called, New Jersey Gun Law. It's in the 25th anniversary edition. It is the guidebook that every New Jersey gun owner needs in order to navigate the treacherous waters of New Jersey. And I've specifically designed it to be user-friendly. It's all question and answer, 120 topics, over 500 pages. And it'll help keep you free and out of jail and not get disenfranchised of your gun rights, which New Jersey loves to do. So get the book. It's a book that's used by the New Jersey State Police. It's used by law enforcement all throughout New Jersey. It's used by other judges, attorneys, and most importantly, by thousands of gun owners just like yourself. They all rely on it, and it is my calling in life to keep that book current. And the way I do it is on the front cover, you'll see a QR code. Just scan it with your phone, and you can subscribe for free. That's right, just like this show is free. The free subscription for the database, the archive, you can get any of the updates anytime you want, download them, put them with the book, keeps the book current, and I'll send you out updates when there's law changes of any type going on in Jersey, whether it's attorney general opinions, new laws, cases, important things that you need to know so you can stay legal in New Jersey. Now, I have here some interesting things I want to share with you, some tidbits here and there, some good letters. So let me tell you about something pretty cool, and that is that if you are an NRA member, if you're an NRA member, you just received protection from being prosecuted under the Senile Sock Puppets pistol brace ban. That's right, Biden's pistol brace ban that turned, you know, a million or more, who knows how many, law-abiding gun owners into criminals overnight that they love to do. Well, NRA just won a nice preliminary injunction by a federal judge, U.S. District Judge Sam A. Lindsay, who enjoined the federal agency from enforcing its rule, which reclassified pistol-braced guns. And what it does is it protects any NRA member who owns a braced gun from facing federal prosecution for it. What the court said is compliance with the final rule is not discretionary, and NRA's members face severe penalties for their failure to comply with the final rule, as per Judge Lindsay. Accordingly, both the final requirements for injunctive relief are satisfied because the threatened injury to NRA members outweighs the threatened harm to the defendants, and enforcement of the final rule under the circumstances will not deserve public interest. So, NRA members are protected at the moment. Now, of course, it's just a preliminary injunction, and unless the case takes a different turn and the judge changes his mind, rules against us, or something changes on appeal, you never know. But it is excellent win at the moment, and it indicates that there is a strong likelihood that this win will continue. And, of course, other cases have protected the Firearm Policy Coalition members and Gun Owner of America members. So this is why it's very important to belong to the gun groups. Make sure you support your pro-gun groups, all of them, frankly. Now, the association is currently litigating now, and who knows where that will go. And if you're an association member, you're going to know that you're not only helping, but you yourself personally may get helped if such a decision like this comes out simply affecting association members. Who knows? So here you can see that it pays. It pays to be part of the groups that fight for your rights. And here there's now protection for NRA members. That's a good thing, and congratulations to the NRA for achieving that. Here's just a little tidbit that kind of makes me laugh, and I think you'll enjoy it. But, you know, it is really funny, and this is from a BBC article. And by the way, the article on the NRA, which was brought to my attention, was from the Truth About Guns, and it was written by Doug Howlett, and the article is called NRA Members Receive a Get-Out-of-Jail-Free Card for Guns with Pistol Braces. So check them out, and you can read the whole article. But when I read that, I wanted to share the news with you. And, you know, Truth About Guns, tag, they're great. You should. These are great aggregate news services and informational services that are out there helping get the word out to gun owners and such. Now, this article I found is from the BBC, and what it says is, ready for this? Botswana threatens to send 20,000 elephants to Germany. Now, let me just say, when I read this, I thought, is this like an April Fool's, you know, fake? It's not fake. It's actually real. Now, why is Botswana threatening to send elephants to Germany? Well, what it says in the article is, earlier this year, Germany's environmental ministry suggested there should be stricter limits on importing trophies from hunting animals. And then it says Botswana's president, Masisi, told German media that this would only impoverish people in his country. Imagine that. Imagine having to care about people. That would really be weird, wouldn't it? Like having to care about people. I don't know. Do they actually do that anymore? He said elephant numbers have exploded as a result of conservation efforts, and hunting helps keep them in check. Can you believe that? Germans should, here's a quote from the article, Germans should live together with animals in a way that you're trying to tell us to. Yeah, that's pretty good, Mr. Masisi said. This is no joke. He said that Botswana is home to a third of the world's elephant population. Ready? The elephant population is over 130,000 more than Botswana even has space for. 130,000 elephants, more than they have space for. The herds are damaging property and eating crops and trampling residents, Masisi said. Now, Botswana has previously given 8,000 elephants to Angola. That was nice of them. They want to offer hundreds more to Mozambique, and they'd like to offer such a gift to Germany, adding that they would not take no for an answer. And Botswana ministry also, by the way, threatened to send 10,000 elephants to London's Hyde Park so the British people could have a taste of living alongside them. This is just great. I love this. This is absolutely great. And they talk about how money helps conservation efforts, the hunting money, and it helps local people so they're less likely to be tempted to even poach animals, you know, because wealthy folks pay a lot to hunt elephants. And they said, look, in some areas there are more of these beasts than people. They're killing children who get in their path. They trample and eat farmers' crops, leaving Africans hungry. So, you know, the bunny hugging, I guess this case, elephant hugging folks are just outrageous and not facing reality. And they're not living in these places, having to deal with these horrible problems that they have to deal with and trying to impose, you know, their screwed up values on African countries. It's just wrong. And I hope they do send thousands of elephants to the UK and to Germany. That would be very interesting, to say the least. Now, I received a letter here in the Ask Evan. I love all your letters, and I appreciate it. And this letter is from Bill. And Bill says it's regarding gun-free zone sign effectiveness. He said, I printed out the Attorney General gun-free zone sign. I placed it in my house to test the effectiveness of this sign. It turned out I and several family members were able to walk right past that sign. I printed it out several times, and it still didn't work. It didn't work. That is amazing. How come that sign didn't work? How come you didn't freeze in your tracks? How were you able to proceed with a firearm beyond that sign? That's amazing. That's good, Bill. I like your experiment there. I'm shocked to learn that. Bill goes on further. It said, is it the Attorney General's free decal more effective? Maybe TSA can put up these stickers at the airport and get rid of the body scanners and x-ray machines to speed up boarding. Many other states have a license to carry holder reports, and it turns out that license holders are more law-abiding than the police. Yet police can carry guns everywhere and have scary large-capacity magazines and assault firearms. But permit-to-carry holders can't. Yeah, Bill, you point out some very valid points here, and the absurdity of the gun laws, the absurdity of their solutions seems to know no bounds. And I always thought, you know, just think about putting up a sign, you know, your neighbor's anti-gun, just you should actually give them a sign that says, no firearms in this house, and say, please put this sign on your front yard. You believe so strongly in it. And I'd really prefer that. That way, if someone's targeting houses, they'll know to hit your house and not mine. It's great. So it's kind of like if you put a no firearms sign on your house or a no guns allowed, you're basically setting yourself up to get a Darwin Award. That's what you're doing. Because even if you don't want to be a gun owner at all, maybe you hate them. But at least the idea that you might be armed and that bad guy doesn't know it should at least give them pause for thought and some hesitation. But when you remove all doubt and show that you are a fool and that you make it clear that you are defenseless, then you get what one would naturally expect would happen to somebody like this. You know, not having guns makes you defenseless. Nobody really should be defenseless. It makes you harmless. I don't want to be harmless. You don't want to be harmless. You want to be dangerous, actually, but you want to be able to control that completely and be able to use it lawfully. So that, in fact, what you become is a defender and you are no longer someone who is defenseless and harmless. But if you want to put a sign out saying that this is a defenseless place, then that is what those signs accomplish And it is about as foolish gets. Hey, what about this week's GoFu? What's the donor fuck up of the week? Oh my gosh, did we even have a gun owner fuck up of the week? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because every day I hear about new ones and I have to sift through and even decide which ones we're going to talk about. Because there's so many of them, folks. And this week's GoFu goes as follows. New Jersey does not make a gift causa mortis on a firearm legal. Now, what is a gift causa mortis? Well, that is fancy legal talk for something given in contemplation of death. So if somebody thinks they're going to pass soon, you know, could be even a relative, and they say, look, you know, I don't know how much longer I have, and I want you to have my gun. And they just give you their gun. That is an unlawful transfer in Jersey. Even private sales are prohibited, folks. Private transfers are prohibited, folks. Now, amongst family members, you still need to do the paperwork. Now, it doesn't have to go through a dealer if it's between immediate family members, but you still have to do the paperwork. And if a friend is wanting to do a gift causa mortis of a gun to you, then it has to even go through a dealer to do the paperwork properly. But so many times I hear, oh yeah, my grandfather gave me this. My father gave me this. And often it was done even in contemplation of death. And even if it wasn't done in contemplation of death, you can't just give guns in Jersey. The only way you can get that firearm without any paper, without any license, without any registration, without any problems, is upon the death of the person. If you are the heir or beneficiary, then you can get the gun with no paperwork, license, registration, as long as you're not otherwise disqualified to possess it. If you're like a convicted felon or some other disqualified person, then you has to go to the police and has to be sold and you can't have it. But as long as you're not otherwise disqualified, you don't even need to be licensed. You do inherit the gun with no paperwork, but you can't pre-inherit it. You can't get it prior to the person's demise. So that is this week's GoFu. And this is, by the way, Evan Knappen reminding you that gun laws don't protect honest citizens from criminals. They protect criminals from honest citizens.
Gun Lawyer is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, New York, New York. Reach us by emailing Evan at gun.lawyer. The information and opinions in this broadcast do not constitute legal advice. Consult a licensed attorney in your state.